Welcome to Non-Consensus Investing. I'm Ram Ahluwalia, your host and CIO at Lumida Wealth, where we specialize in the craft of alternative investments. At Lumida, we help guide clients through the intricacies of managing substantial wealth so they don't have to shoulder the burden alone. Through this podcast, we draw back the curtain to reveal the strategies employed by the best in the business for their high net worth clients so that you too can invest beyond the ordinary. Hey folks, we're going to do what's on your mind on the NVIDIA GTC conference that came out yesterday. I'm going to do this solo. My partner Justin's out on holiday this week, but we're going to focus on select clips that are posted here on the Lumida Wealth page. By the way, in Lumida Wealth, we're focusing on taking the best highlights and clips of what we think is pretty meaningful content, slicing it and putting it on here. So it's worth a follow. So what I'm going to do is just play the clip and then give my quick commentary and take on it. And then towards the end, I'll just share some broader thoughts on AI, semiconductors, disillusionment hypothesis versus what's real, the timing of AGI, and some sub-sector themes within semiconductors I think are going to be pretty interesting that people are not talking about. All right, so with that, let's start with the first clip.
Five things. First, a new industrial revolution. Every data center should be accelerated. $1 trillion worth of installed data centers will become modernized over the next several years. Second, the computer of this revolution, the computer of this generation, generative AI, trillion parameters, Blackwell. Third, new computer creates new types of software. New type of software should be distributed in a new way so that it can be an endpoint in the cloud and easy to use, but still allow you to take it with you because it is your intelligence. Your intelligence should be packaged up in a way that allows you to take it with you. We call them NIMs. These NIMs are going to help you create a new type of application for the future. Not one that you wrote completely from scratch, but you're going to integrate them like teams. Between NIMs, the AI technology, the tools, NeMo, and the infrastructure, DGX Cloud, in our AI Foundry to help you create proprietary applications, proprietary chatbots. And then lastly, everything that moves in the future will be robotic. You're not going to be the only one. And these robotic systems, whether they are humanoid, AMRs, self-driving cars, forklifts, manipulating arms, they will all need one thing. They need a platform, a digital platform, a digital twin platform. And we call that Omniverse, the operating system of the robotics world. Five things. First, a new industrial revolution.
All right, so he dropped quite a bit there. He gets into some of these topics later, so I'm not going to focus on all of them here. But I did want to get the main point across is that the basic thesis he's saying is, look, we've got all these legacy data centers that are built on CPUs, which do linear sequential processing. And now the world needs GPUs that can do parallel processing to power AI. And there's a big rebuild. That's point one. This plays right into the semiconductor CapEx receiver thesis we have. And our basic point is that the best customers in the world that you could ever have as a company, those are governments because they've got big budgets, they can borrow, they can spend. Big tech, those are the folks like Google, Microsoft, Meta, and others. And then three, well-funded startups, including a long tail of other startups. Those are the customers of NVIDIA. It's high customer quality, number one. Number two, it's a top priority for them. It's the stakes are so high, they have to spend. And the gain to being the market leader is so high that in general, they're price insensitive. They'll complain about the price, but they'll buy. So that's the main message, I think, coming out of this video. The other one that stuck out for me was that he's saying, look, the compute needs to go with you. Now, what he's doing there is he's making a dig against these so-called hyperscalers or cloud AI companies, such as like Microsoft, right? Microsoft, their vision of AI is that it's on-premises. It's secure on a Microsoft cloud. NVIDIA is saying, no, it's local. It's portable, it goes with you, or it's on-prem. I believe most of the sovereigns are going to want on-prem because they're not going to trust a US-based company that's subject to US law. So that's a key distinction to play here because NVIDIA's customers are in a way like their competitors, right? Microsoft is building its own GPUs, so is Google, but they need NVIDIA now. And these are two different combating visions of the world. So if you can figure out which world will evolve, that can hopefully position you better. So let's go check out the next video now.
Transistors, this is the first time two dies have abutted like this together in such a way that the two dies think it's one chip. There's 10 terabytes of data between it, 10 terabytes per second. And so this is a fully functioning board, and I'll just be careful here. This right here is, I don't know, $10 billion. The second one's five. It gets cheaper after that. Any customers in the audience? It's okay. What's amazing is this computer is the first of its kind where this much computation, first of all, fits into this small of a place. Second, it's memory coherent. They feel like they're just one big happy family working on one application together. And so everything is coherent within it. Oh, this is the most advanced GPU in the world in production today. This is Hopper. This is Hopper. Hopper changed the world. This is Blackwell. It's okay, Hopper. You're very good. Good boy. 208 billion transistors. This is the first time two dies have abutted like this together in such a way that the two dies think it's one chip. There's 10 terabytes of data between it, 10 terabytes per second. And so this is a fully functioning board. And I'll just be careful here. This right here is, I don't know.
Look, I think the main highlights there are, one, just that his presentation style and storytelling, it does remind you of Steve Jobs. He's very intentional, of course. He's got a whole comms team around him. He's wearing the same black leather jacket each and every time. He's got a nice humor about him. And so we're going to hear a lot more about Jensen. The best CEOs are great storytellers. He's done a good job of taking this complex abstract technology and making it concrete and real by literally showing you the technology in hand. Not an easy thing to do, and you can't demo hardware. So let's go to the next clip here. Now, this is really interesting about Moore's Law.
5x, the token generation, 5x, the inference capability of Hopper seems like enough. But why stop there? The answer is it's not enough, and so decided to scale it. Over the course of the last 8 years, we've increased computation by 1,000 times. Remember, back in the good old days of Moore's Law, it was 2x.
All right, that's wild. This is one of the reasons why I moved up my timetable for AGI. We'll come back to AGI at the end. Let me repeat that. He's saying there's a 1,000x increase in AI compute in the last 8 years. This is much faster than Moore's Law. They're moving at a pace of doubling AI compute in 6 months.
10x every 5 years, 100 times every 10 years. In the last 8 years, we've gone 1,000 times. We have two more years to go. The future is generative, which is the reason why this is a brand new industry.
There's another data point you shared that the first GPU delivery to OpenAI had 0.16 petaflops capability. Now they're going to be delivering exaflops. An exaflop is 1,000 petaflops. There's a handful of exaflop supercomputers globally. They're going to start manufacturing that at scale. So just to show you the pace of the hardware velocity and innovation, pretty dramatic.
This chip is just an incredible chip. We call it the NVLink switch. It's 50 billion transistors. It's almost the size of Hopper all by itself. This switch chip has four NVLinks in it, each 1.8 terabytes per second, and has computation in it, as I mentioned. What is this chip for? If we were to build such a chip, we can have every single GPU talk to every other GPU at full speed at the same time. That's insane. It doesn't even make sense. But if you could do that, if you can find a way to do that and build a system to do cost effective, how incredible would it be that we could have all these GPUs connect over a coherent link so that they effectively are one giant GPU? And as a result, you can build a system that looks like this. Now, this system is insane. This is one DGX. The first one I delivered to OpenAI was 0.17. You can round it up to 0.2, won't make any difference. But, and this is now 720 petaflops, almost an exaflop for training, and the world's first one exaflops machine in one rack. Just so you know, there are only a couple, two, three exaflops machines on the planet as we speak. And so this is an exaflops AI system in one single rack. Let's take a look at the back of it. So this is what makes it possible. That's the back, the DGX NVLink spine. 30 terabytes per second goes through the back of that chassis. That is more than the aggregate bandwidth of the internet. So we could basically send everything to everybody within a second.
That's wild, right? To send everything on the internet within a second. And then the technical innovation to have these GPUs communicate with each other at the speed of light and act like one coherent chip. There's perhaps no more singular technology that represents the advancement of human civilization than the GPU chip that NVIDIA has created. So let's keep going. So very powerful, right? The exaflop.
Which we're advancing computing is insane. And it's still not fast enough, so we built another chip. This chip is just an incredible chip. We call it the NVLink switch. It's 50 billion transistors. It's almost the size of Hopper all by itself. This switch chip has four.
All right, that was a misfire. Let's go to the next one here. We did that one.
An AI foundry. We will do for you and the industry on AI what TSMC does for us building chips. So we go to TSMC with our big ideas. They manufacture it and we take it with us. And so exactly the same thing here, AI foundry. And the three pillars are the NIMS, NeMo microservice, and DGX cloud. The other thing that you could teach the NIM to do is to understand your proprietary information. Remember, inside our company, the vast majority of our data is not in the cloud. It's inside our company. It's been sitting there. The enterprise IT industry is sitting on a gold mine. It's a gold mine because they have so much understanding of the way work is done. They have all these amazing tools that have been created over the years, and they're sitting on a lot of data. If they could take that gold mine and turn them into co-pilots, these co-pilots could help us do things. And so just about every IT franchise, IT platform in the world that has valuable tools that people use is sitting on a gold mine for co-pilots, and they would like to build their own co-pilots and their own chatbots. And so we're announcing that NVIDIA AI Foundry is working with some of the world's great companies. SAP generates 87% of the world's global commerce. Basically, the world runs on SAP. We run on SAP. NVIDIA and SAP are building SAP Joule co-pilots using NVIDIA NeMo and DGX Cloud. ServiceNow, they run 85% of the world's Fortune 500 companies run their people and customer service operations on ServiceNow. And they're using NVIDIA AI Foundry to build ServiceNow Assist virtual assistants. Cohesity backs up the world's data. They're sitting on a gold mine of data, hundreds of exabytes of data, over 10,000 companies. NVIDIA AI Foundry is working with them, helping them build their Gaia generative AI agent. Snowflake is a company that stores the world's digital warehouse in the cloud and serves over 3 billion queries a day for 10,000 enterprise customers. Snowflake is working with NVIDIA AI Foundry to build co-pilots with NVIDIA NeMo and NIMS. NetApp, nearly half of the files in the world are stored on-prem on NetApp. NVIDIA AI Foundry is helping them build chatbots and co-pilots like those vector databases and retrievers with NVIDIA NeMo and NIM. And we have a great partnership with Dell. Everybody who is building these chatbots and generative AI, when you're ready to run it, you're going to need an AI factory.
So yeah, there's a lot there also. You notice that, again, he mentioned NetApp, number one. Number two, or the on-prem deployment. Number two, he's talking about co-pilots that would be verticalized and delivered by different software companies from Snowflake to SAP to NetApp. And that's the vision of the world, again, that they're advancing. He plugs Dell quite a few times. We only got a bit in there. That was actually how we found Dell as an investment thesis, because in the earnings transcript, he kept talking about Dell and VMware and a few companies. And we said, all right, Dell's a distribution partner. They'll do well here. So let's move on to the next one. By the way, what's a NIM? So NIMs are worth spending a moment on. So a NIM is an NVIDIA Inference Microservice. These are packages that are pre-trained AI models, and they're optimized for inference against NVIDIA hardware so they can run faster. So imagine in Python, you've got these libraries like Scikit that use for machine learning. So that's what, by analogy, what NVIDIA has built up through their CUDA library. They've got these kernels that can access hardware that's optimized to execute those functions. That's part of what creates the moat around NVIDIA. So let's go to this now, drug discovery.
The language of life, of course, with AlphaFold has reconstructed 200 million proteins, basically every protein, every living thing that's ever been sequenced. This is completely revolutionary. Those models are incredibly hard to use, hard for people to build. We're gonna build them for the researchers around the world. So let me show you what we're going to do with it.
Virtual screening for new medicines is a computationally intractable problem. Existing techniques can only scan billions of compounds and require days on thousands of standard compute nodes to identify new drug candidates. NVIDIA BioNeMo NIMS enable a new generative screening paradigm. Using NIMS for protein structure prediction with AlphaFold, molecule generation with MolMIM, and docking with DiffDock, we can now generate and screen candidate molecules in a matter of minutes. MolMIM can connect to custom applications to steer the generative process, iteratively optimizing for desired properties. These applications can be defined with BioNeMo microservices or built from scratch. Here, a physics-based simulation optimizes for a molecule's ability to bind to a target protein while optimizing for other favorable molecular properties in parallel. MolMIM generates high-quality drug-like molecules that bind to the target and are synthesizable, translating to a higher probability of developing successful medicines faster. BioNeMo is enabling a new paradigm in drug discovery with NIMS, providing on-demand microservices that can be combined to build powerful drug discovery workflows like de novo protein design or guided molecule generation for virtual screening.
The ability to understand your life.
So look, there's never been a better time to be alive. This is one of the reasons why I'm excited about biotech. It'll take still years for the innovation to come out of this, to hit the market, because the FDA clinical trial process, but the story will get ahead of that. And we're going to see some real innovation in biotech.
For NVIDIA Accelerated Computing, Wistron, one of our leading manufacturing partners, is building digital twins of NVIDIA DGX and HGX factories using custom software developed with Omniverse SDKs and APIs. For their newest factory, Wistron started with a digital twin to virtually integrate their multi-CAD and process simulation data into a unified view. Testing and optimizing layouts in this physically accurate digital environment increased worker efficiency by 51%. During construction, the Omniverse digital twin was used to verify that the physical build matched the digital plans. Identifying any discrepancies early has helped avoid costly change orders. And the results have been impressive. Using a digital twin helped bring Wistron's factory online in half the time, just 2.5 months instead of 5.
In operation, the Omniverse Digital Twin helps Wistron rapidly test new layouts to accommodate new processes or improve operations in the existing space, and monitor real-time operations using live IoT data from every machine on the production line, which ultimately enabled Wistron to reduce end-to-end cycle times by 50% and defect rates by 40%. With NVIDIA AI and Omniverse, NVIDIA's global ecosystem of partners are building a new era of accelerated AI-enabled digitalization.
That's the way it's going to be in the future. We're going to manufacture everything digitally first, and then we'll manufacture it physically.
So that's pretty wild, right? First off, there's a use case for enterprise Apple Vision Pro. They have this concept of these digital twins, which he brings up later in the context of weather. So they're building these data centers and using AI to help build the data center. And so you can visually inspect it in a virtual world. And then when you're building the physical data center, you can use AI to look at the deltas between those two and course correct. And that allows an acceleration of the data center build. That's pretty wild how they're using AI to accelerate data center. They're eating their own cooking. I've no doubt they're using AI to help design the next iteration of these AI chips as well.
Quadrillion. A quadrillion is like a peta. After the transformer was invented, we were able to scale large language models at incredible rates, effectively doubling every 6 months. If you double the size of the model, you double the size of your brain, you need twice as much information to go fill it. And every time you double your parameter count, you also have to appropriately increase your training token count. The combination of those two numbers becomes the computation scale you have to support. The latest, the state-of-the-art OpenAI model is approximately 1.8 trillion parameters. 1.8 trillion parameters required several trillion tokens to go train. A few trillion parameters, a few trillion tokens, when you multiply the two of them together, 30, 40, 50 billion, quadrillion floating point operations per second. Now we just have to do some CO math right now, just hang with me. So you have 30 billion quadrillion. A quadrillion is like a peta. And so if you had a petaflop GPU, you would need 30 billion seconds to go compute, to go train that model. 30 billion seconds is approximately 1,000 years. So what we need are bigger GPUs. We need much bigger GPUs.
So this is a really crucial point he's raising. One, he's saying, look, we have larger models that are coming online that are going to be trillion parameter. Let me define what a parameter is for you. Again, I'll use an analogy. So if you build like a linear regression model and you do regression on a couple independent variables, let's say you're predicting the weather and your input variables are things like humidity and the cloud cover and a few other variables, those are parameters. That's a small model. So these models have trillion plus parameters. And that means you need more data. And there's not enough data now that is AI trainable ready to fit those models. This is very similar to the hardware software game that existed in Wintel, right? So back in the day, it was always this challenge where Intel would crank out better CPUs and better technology, and then Windows would find ways to utilize that, and those two would move in balance. So I would say NVIDIA is actually ahead of the market on hardware in the pursuit of AGI. We actually need more software breakthroughs and training data to keep up with this. Now, who's got the most training data? Google. They have YouTube. They have Gmail. And they have other data through platforms like Android. And they scan the World Wide Web. That's one of the reasons why I'm bullish on Google. And these LLMs are cash guzzlers. They take a lot of time to train, a lot of money to invest in this infrastructure, and they can afford to do that.
Computing model, we invented a brand new type of computer. We called it DGX-1, 8 GPUs connected together for the very first time. I hand-delivered the very first DGX-1 to a startup located in San Francisco called OpenAI. 2022, ChatGPT captured the world's imaginations. In 2023, generative AI emerged, and a new industry begins. Why? Why is a new industry? Because the software never existed before. We are now producing software, using computers to write software, producing software that never existed before. It is a brand new category. It took share from nothing. It's a brand new category. And the way you produce the software is unlike anything we've ever done before. In data centers, generating tokens, producing floating point numbers at very large scale. In the beginning of this last industrial revolution, when people realized that you would set up factories, apply energy to it, and this invisible, valuable thing called electricity came out. 100 years later, we are now creating new types of electrons, tokens, using infrastructure we call factories, AI factories, to generate this new, incredibly valuable thing called artificial intelligence.
Pretty wild, right? Quote, it took share from nothing, quote, using computers to write software, using software to write software, making hyperbolic comparisons to the emergence of electricity. It's real. It's grounded in substance. I would say, though, like the combination of that vision and his charisma and their growth, those are the elements of a recipe you need to create the mother of all bubbles. We're not in a bubble yet, though. NVIDIA is not a Cisco, but it's easy to see how those ingredients can come together and really create a lift. The Ford PE of NVIDIA is still less than like Team and MongoDB and other software companies and Palantir. So we still have ways to go.
I hope you realize this is not a concert. You have arrived at a developers conference. There will be a lot of science described, algorithms, computer architecture, mathematics. Also, this conference is represented by some amazing companies. This list, this is not the attendees. These are the presenters.
All right, let's pause there. So this is their customers. Let's get a sense of what's going on. This is one reason why NVIDIA is not Cisco. Cisco is focused on the telecom sector. Those are the Verizons of the world. Here, the scope is much broader. You can see big tech firms, oil firms, consulting companies, software companies like Databricks, Datadog. You see these AI LLM firms like Anthropic. You even see firms are going to get disrupted, like Adobe's on my to get disrupted list. Why do you need Adobe if you can create images using generative AI in a prompt? They also, faced with this innovator's dilemma, are renting from NVIDIA, LinkedIn, and the telco space, such as Verizon. Yeah, this is, by the way, when you look at the Microsoft 10K, these are the kinds of names that you see in their earnings report. So I do believe Microsoft and NVIDIA are really, you know, indirect competitors that are becoming increasingly direct competitors.
Presenters. And what's amazing is this. These are the presenters of the non-IT industries using accelerated computing to solve problems that normal computers can't. Life sciences, healthcare, genomics, transportation, retail, logistics, the gamut of industries represented.
How many industries you read all? By the way, what's not shown there are defense and countries. But we know that both those two categories are spending. We know Palantir has been talking about that. One indicator of when you're closer to the end is when you see defense budgets reference spending on H100s or now like Blackwell GPUs. We're not there yet. There's no discussion of defense budget spending on GPU compute, but clearly that's inevitable.
It is truly amazing. $100 trillion of the world's industries is represented in this room today. I hope you realize this is not a concert. You have a right.
All right, now robots.
Computer graphics, physics, artificial intelligence. It all came to bear at this moment. The name of that project, General Robotics 00.
This is where inspiration leads us. The next frontier. This is NVIDIA Project Grid. A general purpose foundation model for humanoid robot learning. The group model takes multimodal instructions and past interactions as input and produces the next action for the robot to execute. We developed Isaac Lab, a robot learning application to train group on Omniverse Isaac Sim, and we scale out with Osmo, a new compute orchestration service that coordinates workflows across DGX systems for training and OVX systems for simulation. With these tools, we can train Groot in physically based simulation and transfer zero shot to the real world.
That's a pretty heady concept, what they're doing. They're training robot AIs to learn in virtual reality, where they define the physics of that reality. So those robots walking around and stumbling around. And then they can import the learnings from that virtual reality to a physical robot. This is another digital twin. Remember, the first digital twin we saw was how they use this Omniverse digital twin, virtual reality, whatever you want to call it, to better execute on the build out of these data centers, using that for robots.
Group model will enable a robot to learn from a handful of human demonstrations, so it can help with everyday tasks and emulate human movement just by observing us. This is made possible with NVIDIA's technologies that can understand humans from videos, train models in simulation, and ultimately deploy them directly to physical robots. All this incredible intelligence is powered by the new Jetson Thor robotics chips, designed for Groot, built for the future. With Isaac Lab, Osmo, and Groot, we're providing the building blocks for the next generation.
So what I don't know is the commercial model here. Are they providing a picks and shovels infrastructure layer to enable the next Boston Dynamics and the Teslas to build off of that? That's what it seems to be the case, but it's not entirely clear. I hope that's what it is versus them just telling a use case about how to use the AI. I believe it's the former. I'd want to learn more, but you got to imagine, like, you're a Tesla trying to build these robots and you see this video, you're like, what the hell just happened? You're going to get how many more competitors may be able to rent these tools off the shelf? Remember, like, when ChatGPT was launched, people were fetching, talking about investing an $86 billion valuation. Now it's starting to become clear that the LLM foundation model business is not a great business model. It's high fixed cost and you got increased competition. It's hard to create a moat. And that might prove to be true for robotics. I would bet that NVIDIA beats Tesla on capturing value from that. NVIDIA is not going to deliver the end robot. Remember, NVIDIA is just a chip designer. They don't even manufacture the chip. They design the chip and then they contract with Taiwan Semiconductor to go build out these chips and another supply chain. So here's some other thoughts on this. So on the timing of AI, my take is that the hardware is not only on pace, but coming in faster than we all think. Again, we're beating Moore's law. 6 months, we double AI compute, number one. Number two, you can train on parameters, over a trillion parameters, and we don't have the data sets for that training today. So the hardware is ahead of the software. What you want is to approach this in two ways. You need engineering, and then you need research. What does engineering mean? Engineering means throwing more hardware at the problem. That is what, that's what's happening here. Throwing Blackwell exaflops at the problem. That's one, but also means throwing more data. For example, the Library of Congress, that'd be two, just more content. It'd be YouTube videos, the World Wide Web, the documented human knowledge, not just written, but also multimodal human knowledge as well. That's two. What else? Three, you need broader context windows. So GPT-5 is gonna roll out in the summer, I think July, plus or minus a month. Here it's twice as fast as GPT-4. But those are the levers on the engineering side that we can deploy today. But I do think that on the software side, we still need a few more breakthroughs, right? The Transformer, which he referred to, is a seminal paper published by these Google researchers, I think in 2015, that opened the door. And now the basic approach is, hey, let's train on broader data sets and let's use this technology called RAGs to correct for hallucinations and have these daughter AIs that are specialized for certain tasks. So it's a lot of engineering around that. It's like, how do you use duct tape and how do you arrange AI operations to improve the quality output? I think what you need is a research breakthrough. And you know, there are researchers working on this. It could take a few years, but the hardware will be there. If you get some of those research breakthroughs, think here like PageRank. Remember in the search engine wars, Google was the 18th search engine to come online. And they destroyed all of their competition because they had the insight of PageRank, which was saying that you can build trust to certain links based on their backlinks, who's referring to them. You can build maps of who's referring to who. So I think we do need something like that. One of the interesting areas in semiconductors to take a close look at is hardware-based memory. So one of the drivers of latency is the distance between the compute and the memory. And so what Jensen showed there with the Blackwell configuration is they're putting multiple die, these GPU compute centers next to each other, and they're using photonics. With that, what that means is they're actually exchanging information at the speed of light with one another, as opposed to using traditional techniques. But hardware-based memory is going to be crucial. Putting the memory in direct proximity, adjacency to the compute, is going to be a big winner here. And there are a couple of companies that produce hardware-based memory. There's a sub-theme within this category that you might want to explore and research. If you have any good ideas, let me know. I have a few I'm looking more into as well. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy that. Pretty exciting. Look, the forward P of NVIDIA is in the mid-30s. Let me take a look at NVIDIA stock right now. I'll give you a quick perspective there. Let's share a screen. So NVIDIA, like quite a few other stocks, have obviously been on a tear as Mr. Market has been revising its expectations. The last time we bought NVIDIA in size was actually at the beginning of the year. I have a tweet on this, talk about it. It's been hard to get more exposure, especially for new clients that come on board. What we're doing now is we wait for these tactical moments to get some exposure. Generally, the market has been selling off on CPI prints and FOMC meeting days. You can see that here, nice little chart. Whenever inflation data or the FOMC get together, I don't know if that'll happen tomorrow, we'll see. But those are some opportunities to get some tactical exposure. But I do think NVIDIA's got a multi-year head start on the competition. AMD and these other players and Intel have to focus on these niche use cases where they can get an edge. But the prize for being first, if you're a big tech firm or a country, is so significant that you're willing to spend money, even though NVIDIA has an 80% profit margin. And everyone has NVIDIA FOMO, right? Think about it. If you're the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, he has to pay NVIDIA for these graphics cards so he can build his own robots. Google is the same. Microsoft's the same. It's a strange bedfellows dynamic. I don't expect that trend to change anytime soon. Sam Altman wants to build the next NVIDIA. That takes years to get going. And you already have other players like AMD and Intel trying to do that. So we'll see. Anyway, I hope you found that was helpful. There are other ways to bet on the rise of AI besides NVIDIA, particularly in the supply chain and their software plays as well. The broader theme is the growth of data centers, right? So how do you bet on the growth of data centers? There's got to be energy to power those data centers. Utilities are cheap right now. So we've been looking at nuclear power plants. There are already brownouts that are happening because the compute demands for some of these data centers are equivalent to like having a small town on the grid. The second is energy, electric grid transformation projects. That's another good opportunity because the world needs to shift to electric and the grid isn't designed for that. Finding investment opportunities that are indexed to that, I believe will do well. We're researching that theme now. We have a few ideas. It takes time to really map out the category though and find who the leaders are. But there are quite a few mid-cap firms that people are not talking about reasonable valuation and growth. And we're going to spend some more time on that in the coming months. All right. Hope you enjoyed that, folks. Take care now. Be well. Thank you for listening in on the episode. Remember, in the world of investing, the road less traveled often leads to the greatest rewards. I'm Ram Ahluwalia, your host and chief investment officer at Lumida Wealth, where we specialize in the craft of alternative investments. Invest wisely, stay ahead of the curve, and stay non-consensus.